This is Bruin Radio, a weekly student show from Brookings Harbor High School on the Wild Rivers Coast. By tuning into our show, you're getting the latest news, interviews, music, poetry, and more from the outstanding Bruins of Brookings Harbor High School. We are happy to broadcast on KCIWLP in Brookings, Oregon on 100.7 FM.
This is Bruin News with Dane Tipman. Today's episode has guest announcements from Ethan Warder and Justin Van Gindren, as well as an interview hosted by Bruin News regulars Peter Schreiber and Bridget Mitchell. Parent-teacher conferences were fantastic last week, listeners. We had an amazing turnout of parents and guardians moving through our gym to talk to the teachers of their students. Several of our teachers shared with us that in just one of the nights on Wednesday, they saw more parents of students than they saw during both nights last year. Thank you to all the parents and students that took the time to come by and talk to their teachers. Many visitors during conferences pointed out how great it was that visiting parents had the opportunity to learn about PowerSchool. PowerSchool is the online student information system that students and parents can use to check their grades and the status of their assignments. They can also use PowerSchool to reach out to teachers at our high school. If you haven't used PowerSchool before, or if you need a little reminder on how to make use of it, please reach out to our counseling and guidance department. The teachers and staff would like to extend a tremendous thank you to Cindy Badger and the cafeteria crew for providing meals for teachers and staff before parent-teacher conferences. We have some awesome Veterans Day news to share with you, listeners. BHHS teacher and friend of the show, Lorinda Hsu, invited the entire freshman class of around 125 students to write letters to service members currently in the military in honor of Veterans Day. Every letter expresses our gratitude to the men and women in our military. The letters also share details about Brookings, facts and accomplishments of the students writing the letter, and pictures hand-drawn by the kids. The students created over 500 letters, which were shipped out last Friday. Lorinda Hsu's intent was to give the students a way to thank our men and women in uniform, as well as to provide an opportunity to practice creating traditional handwritten letters and learn the difference between informal writing and formal writing.
The following piece was written and recorded by Gage Westbrook. On November 11th, the city of Brookings, as well as all cities and communities across the nation, honored U.S. military veterans. Veterans like our very own Mr. Tipman. It is important to honor those who have served, as those who serve make important sacrifices in the name of the safety and security of the nation. On Veterans Day, and all days, we must recognize that not all those who serve come back the same, and it is vital that we treat these men and women with respect that is owed them, as they've committed to serving the United States to the best of their abilities and are true patriots. Patriots not because they were under the employment of the U.S. government, but because they show devotion to this nation and its people on a regular basis, which is why it's important to remember all those who served on the 11th of November and all other days. We hope you had a good Veterans Day from here at Brookings Harbor High School.
There was an awesome turnout last week at the RPG Club. Mr. Krotzer's classroom was full of students discussing the tabletop games they plan to play. If you're interested in role-playing games, swing by this club Thursdays at lunch and after school to get involved. The club is open to both experienced players and students who are brand new to playing tabletop games.
This is Natalia Aguilar. This week is Club Week. Come see us at the Multicultural Club table. We have tons of really good ideas. We want to start some planning for great events. I really need some student leaders to really put this on the map. So come on over to our table, sign up, and learn how you can be a leader in the really cool club and plan cool events for our district.
Reporters from Bruin Radio had the opportunity to visit the LGBTQ+ and Straight Alliance Club last week. The club continued its discussion of how to provide safe and gender-neutral bathrooms for the students of our school. Club members also worked on colorful posters for the club and planned future events. The gender of the day was pansexual. The definition of pansexual that the club used is as follows. Someone who is attracted to anyone, regardless of their sexuality or gender identity.
Hello, this is Ethan Warner from Brookings Harbor High School Robotics Team 4110. Our team is running a fundraiser to raise money for travel to Portland for our competitions and to help pay for related fees. Our team is running a fundraiser to help raise money for travel to Portland for our competitions and to help pay for related fees. We are selling See's candy to raise this money. All robotics team members have a payment slip, so if you want to support our team or if you just want some delicious candy, come find one of the members of Team 4110.
Students will be able to retake the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery, or ASVAB, on the 1st of December. If you're interested in a military career or in seeing how the military would assess your skills and talents, sign up in the guidance office. The University of Oregon trip is taking place on December 1st. If you didn't know, U of O is located in Eugene, Oregon, and it's the home of the Ducks. If you're a student who would like to tour this campus, sign up with guidance. Scholarship Release Night is on December the 7th. Scholarship Release Night is the night where most, if not all, scholarships reveal who they were awarded to, and we host a fun party for students to celebrate the releases. The actual scholarship release information will be shared during cohort on that day. Get ready to hear the cheers at the Brookings Harbor High School. Next week, the students and staff of our school district will be enjoying their Thanksgiving break. The break is all week. We hope everyone comes back refreshed and ready to finish the month up strong.
You're about to hear the original composition, Organized Chaos, by BHHS student Jeremy Pettinger. The song was created in Tone Matrix by Audio Tool. Thank you. That was Organized Chaos by Jeremy Pettinger.
This is Jeremy Pettinger with a review for the new release, now in theaters, Thor Ragnarok. As the third Thor movie in the Marvel live-action universe, we see Thor and Loki take on a new threat, their sister and goddess of death, Hela. With the return of Hulk and a new female character with a past, Thor sets out to defeat his sister and save Asgard from the Ragnarok prophecy. This movie was filled with likable... The movie was filled with likable characters and...
One more time.
The movie was filled with likable characters and funny jokes with a twist after credits scene. This is not a movie you want to miss. I would give the movie 8 Mjolnirs out of 10.
Welcome to Bruin Radio. This is Peter Parker, and today I have two special guests in the studio with me.
Hi, this is Nancy Raskauskas-Kunz. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Brookings Harbor School District.
And I'm Natalia Aguilar. I'm the Title III Coordinator and English Language Development Teacher at Brookings Harbor School District.
Thank you for coming here today. So ladies, why did you come to Bruin Radio?
We wanted to come talk about the community night coming up on November 29th. We're really excited and have been planning it together.
We're really excited. We really wanted to do something for the community and include lots of different diverse families, families that come from other languages. So we're really going to provide services and information, and we're going to have free translating services so that families can engage with that information and really participate more within our schools.
That's amazing.
Is this at all related to the bilingual parent night that we reported on last year?
Well, last year I was lucky enough to go to that event that Natalia coordinated, and it was on the same night that the superintendent's office was hosting a fireside chat, and it was really wonderful to have those two communities together in the same building, having events on the same night. And this year we thought, let's just bring the whole event together and bring all those groups together to have conversation and dialogue around these important school issues.
So what are the important school issues?
Well, we have a couple things we're going to be focusing on that night. One of the main ones is talking about graduation innovations in our district. So these are different interventions that our schools have been doing to help students graduate on time, make up credits that they may be behind so that they can move on from our district. And the backstory there is that our district has come a long way in the past few years from a pretty low graduation rate of around 50 to 60%. And we've been steadily raising that over time through a lot of programs. We want to share the work we're doing there and where we have to go. Some of the things we're going to be talking about is graduation and the important things we're doing in our district to make sure that all students can make it to graduation and graduate ready for college and career. Speaking of college and career pathways, there's some really exciting partnerships with SWOC that we're going to be talking about. And finally, sharing some of the updates around student safety and privacy, programs to reduce and prevent bullying and harassment and suicide prevention in our schools. Those are some of the topics that the superintendent's going to be sharing.
And along with that, a really good way for us to get these graduation rates and get students really ready for life outside of elementary and secondary school is by creating welcoming schools. And Oregon is doing an initiative where we really want all parents from all backgrounds, all languages, all socioeconomic levels to feel like school is somewhere that they can come and access our resources. So by opening our doors, having information given to parents, we're hopefully going to keep increasing our graduation rates and keep making students be ready for a life outside of high school.
What's that name of the initiative that you mentioned?
Funny enough, it's called Welcoming Schools. So Oregon has put out some information for our districts on how we can make welcoming schools. And I've talked to Nancy about how we are even making our district be welcoming, like our district website be welcoming, in that are we showing diversity? Are we showing different languages on there? Are we giving information to parents? So we're really thinking about how our schools, in all of its many facets, welcoming and engaging and making students want to participate and families feel like they're part of it.
That feels very welcoming.
That's what we want.
You seem to mention college and those options, but obviously kids have other options like trade school and GEDing and all of that. So what do you think of that?
I think you hit the nail on the head in terms of talking about college versus career. And, You know, I think our schools do have a habit of emphasizing college, but the programs that we're really trying to put in place are supposed to give the options. So right now our district has an initiative to create career pathways. Some of the career pathways that are being worked on are healthcare, business management, manufacturing and making, which would include a lot of the science, technology, engineering, mathematics courses, but also things like art, sound production, you know, those sorts of skills that are in the creative realm. And those are jobs that, you know, you can apprentice into, you can teach yourself, go to trade school. We want students to have a clear idea of how to get to those places, though. You know, we want to be able to set up mentoring programs and pathway programs so that a student just doesn't have to completely figure it out. There's some guidance and support.
You mentioned translation services. Well, so what are those exactly? I mean, do you have like dedicated translators? And
so our district has been trying to move forward to be more inclusive and mindful of families that don't feel welcome or don't feel part of the system and their students' academic success because of that language barrier. Right now we have some staff members that are bilingual in Spanish and English, myself included, and we will be standing around the tables and talking with other people that are around their tables giving out information, and we're going to be offering on-site interpretation and, if needed, written translation of any information that is given.
And speaking of the tables, part of the event is that we're going to have about 15 resource and information tables coming. A lot of them represent school programs such as Community Bridges, Disability Services, Indian Education, English Language Services, Speech Pathology, things like that. But we also have some coming from outside, including Bruin Radio, representing your group here, the Curry Health School-Based Clinic, and the Boosters, and the Parent-Teacher Organization, for example. One fun thing that we're going to do is have people fill out a passport at the event, getting stamps at each of the tables, and turn it in for a drawing at the end of the night to get a door prize.
So what is that door prize?
Well, you have to come to find out, but it's worth it.
Is there going to be food? Because to me, the prize would be food.
There will be food at the event. We're actually going to have a free spaghetti feed with spaghetti and salad and garlic bread and that kind of stuff. Free to the community, although donations are appreciated.
So where does the donated money go?
Right now, we're just planning to use the money to offset the cost of the event. We're a little unsure how big of a crowd we're going to get. We're estimating that, you know, based on past events, maybe we get 50 to 100 people, but we may get a much bigger crowd, which would be wonderful. And so we just wanted to use the money to put back into this event and having future community events like this. It's not very often that we get to have these type of community events. Every year we have a community breakfast at the beginning of the school year where we invite the business community and the community at large to come join with our teachers, kick off the start of the school year. But this type of event mid-year is not something that our district has done in recent years, and it's really important to us to have the funds to make it a really great evening where people can sit down together over a table, have conversations, and be engaged. So that we can, you know, keep moving all the important work the district is moving forward with the community, not to the community, but with the community's ideas and feedback and questions.
A lot of families in this community have littler kids that might not want to sit at tables and watch their parents walk around. So is there going to be daycare provided or anything like that?
Well, it's actually going to be better than daycare. We are going to be having the Little Bruins program that runs right out of Brookings Harbor High School take the children into their classroom, which is an educational experience in itself. So not only are the parents going to be able to roam around, fill out their passports, and get all the information that they need without their little ones crying or being upset, but the little ones will actually also get to experience what Little Bruins is and the experience of a preschool, and hopefully we'll have more families trying to enroll their students in Little Bruins.
That's amazing. Do people have to RSVP for this event, or can they just like show up at the door?
They can definitely just show up at the door, but we would love it if people would RSVP for a couple reasons. One, we just want to make sure we have enough food and volunteers there for the night, and also that our Little Bruins classroom is all set up to be ready for people's little ones for the night. So on our RSVP form, which you can find on our Brookings Harbor School District Facebook page or on the front of the district website, You can fill out that you're coming, how many people you're bringing, and any accommodations that you might need on the night.
Once again, listeners, Community Night is on November 29th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Brookings Harbor High School cafeteria.
Y ojalá los podemos ver el miércoles 29 de noviembre de 6 a 8 en la cafetería de la escuela Brookings Harbor High School.
Please remember that your RSVP would be much appreciated.
Para confirmar su asistencia a la noche de la comunidad, por favor llame al número 541-469-7417.
I'd like to thank Nancy Uskowskis-Kunz and Natalia Aguilar for being here today in the studio.
My pleasure.
My pleasure too. Hope to see you guys there.
So, Nancy, while we still have you here in the recording studio, what is a public information officer?
Well, basically, I'm working to tell the story of our school district. I do a little bit of media relations, working with journalists that have questions about our district. I share our events, promoting different opportunities for people to be involved in our district. And I work on our communications infrastructure, so the different ways we share our messages, whether that be the website or phone or texting programs or just our social media.
So what other things have you done in your life other than PIO?
Well, before I became PIO for the district here 2.5 years ago, I worked in higher education marketing for Oregon State University, and I was a journalist for a daily newspaper in the Mid-Valley. You know, I love how creative communications is as a field. I originally started as a science writer, and then I moved into more just general reporting, became an editor, fell in love with online editing, websites. You know, these days I'd say that my specialty is more web communications, but it's just a field I love to work in because in any given day, you know, I'm doing graphic design or video editing or photography or updating a website's content. There's a lot of different places to go with it. So one of the things I do is work to get people engaged with the school district. And right now we have some openings on our school district budget committee. We actually have 5 openings on a 5-person committee. This is a really important part of our school's process each year. The budget committee typically starts meeting in January, and by July, they have to come together with the school board and create a final balanced budget for our school district. It's a really important civic post and for the future of our schools and the sustainability of our schools. So if anyone has any interest, I encourage them to turn in an application. Applications are due on November 29th to the district office and can be found on our website.
What kind of person should apply to this budget committee?
Well, we're really looking to draw on the expertise of the community. There's only one ground rule, and that is that you cannot be a staff person of the school district or someone who contracts with the district. So we're looking for parents, business leaders, people with expertise in accounting, such as CPAs, that sort of thing. Retirees, really anyone with an interest in the schools and the important role our schools play in the community. You know, our schools play a big part in our local economy, creating the workforce of tomorrow, the innovators of tomorrow. And the school budget process is just one way to get involved. I know that a lot of people have been wanting to get civically involved in the last year. We saw an incredible amount of candidates run for our school board this last year, which was really exciting. And we have some new school board members. And this is just another way that people can get involved in our community is to be part of our budget committee.
I'm guessing you're going to have to be good at math, though.
You don't have to be good at math.
No.
Our finance director, Kathy McKee, will give a training to the budget committee. And also the budget committee can ask for any help it needs from the district. So if they would like, for instance, a report from the athletic director on athletic spending, then that Director Buell Gonzalez will come and talk to the board and give them the insights that they need.
Nancy, what was your job like during the CHETCO bar fire?
Despite being a small district, we played a vital role in the fire response. During the month of August, our high school served as an emergency Red Cross shelter briefly. We became the main incident command fire camp with over 500 personnel camped out on our sports fields and using our school facilities, cafeteria and showers and that sort of thing. We also hosted a press conference with Governor Kate Brown. Numerous reporters, our superintendent was even interviewed on OPB's Think Out Loud, and our small community, as you all know, made headlines across the country when it was named the number one priority wildfire in the U.S. So that's the kind of press attention that our small district doesn't normally receive, and we'd obviously like to be talking about student success and other topics. But when something like that happens, it's important to be responsive and making sure that people are able to get their questions answered and have access to information. There were two main things that our district needed to communicate quickly. One that was very important from our superintendent and our school board was to take the pressure off people knowing that school was just about, one of the things we wanted to do was to take one of the worries away from the community at a very concerning time, and that was the start of the school year. So the decision was made to delay the school year by 1 week, and we worked through all of our normal communications channels and partners to get that information out. So there were two really important messages that we needed to communicate among all the many messages happening at the time, and one was our 1 week delay to the school year. That was done because of the evacuations in our area, the need to have adequate staffing, and also just the need to release some of the strain on the community at that time. Secondly, air quality became a huge topic, not just in Brookings, but across the state of Oregon, with all the smoke from our fire and other wildfires across the West. So our district had to come up with a plan and then share that plan with parents and students so they would know what to expect when they return to school. One of the things for me that was the most dramatic about the whole fire situation this summer, when the fire made its big initial rush at town, you know, from August 18th to 22nd, is the way the rest of the state of Oregon came to help. And so that was the eclipse weekend, you remember? And when the fire started to come close to town and trigger evacuations, they called in structural firefighters from every city in Oregon and all across the West. And in less than 24 hours, firefighting teams from municipalities all across Oregon, including my hometown, Corvallis, you know, and the Portland area and all across the state, drove to Brookings in the middle of the night, arrived at the high school and set up camp because it was within the realm of possibility that we would be seeing catastrophic structure fires like Santa Rosa saw a month later. Luckily, that never happened, but it's just really gets me choked up when I think about how all those other communities sent people through the night to get to Brookings in time so that if they had needed to, they could have managed an evacuation and fought actual structure fires. And we're so lucky that didn't happen. And then we were lucky we got to play host to those groups while they did all sorts of other important work like prepping houses and properties in case. But I don't know if there's a way to tell that story, but I just don't think people realize how quickly, you know, those people materialize and set up on our school fields. And the decision had to be made really quickly. Like, where do we put them? We've got 1,000 firefighting personnel coming right now. Where do we put them? Well, the school is one of the only big pieces of open land in the middle of town. So it was kind of an easy decision to put them at the school in the harbor, you know, initially. And then they consolidated later so that they wouldn't disrupt school and business. We're just so grateful as a district and as a community to all the firefighting personnel that came and all the local personnel like from South Coast and Coos Forest Protection Agency and the U.S. Forest Service here locally that worked with them. It's amazing how far away people came to Brookings to help us.
Thank you, Miss Nancy, for joining us today.
It was great.
Good. I love having you here. It's always a pleasure.
Come back anytime.
You've just heard Bruin Radio, a half-hour student-focused program brought to you by the students and staff of the Brookings Harbor High School in partnership with Curry Coast Community Radio, KCIW. Content for this program is provided by the Brookings Harbor High School. To view the credits for this episode, visit kciw.org/credits.
You're listening to KCIW LP out of Brookings, Oregon, broadcasting on 100.7 FM.